referred to in Ephesians when the Apostle Paul is praying, recording his prayer. He addresses the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ many, many times. When it came to his personal need, in 2 Corinthians, he addresses the Lord himself. And so we have this example or this model that we've been brought into a place where we can address the Father in prayer, but we also have the invitation by the Lord Jesus himself, if you will ask in my name, I will do it. So we can get some thoughts on addressing the Lord Jesus in communion in this thought of prayer.
I think it is clear from the scripture the equality of the Father and the Son in the Godhead and deity. And it is because of that we were given the access, as we have heard earlier, not only to the Father, but also to address the Lord Jesus. And there are examples in the scripture of the Lord Jesus being addressed in prayer. Just bring a couple of them very quickly. The thief on the cross, he said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He said, Lord Jesus, remember me when thou would come into thy kingdom. So he's addressing the Lord Jesus. In resurrection, and as he ascended on high, Stephen addressed him, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And then finally, the last prayer that is recorded to us in the scripture is the prayer of the bride. Lord Jesus, come. Addressing the Lord Jesus. So as we address the Father, the scripture also give us the privilege of addressing the Lord Jesus in prayer.
I'd like to just contrast or compare John 16 with what we have here in John 14. John 16, the Lord Jesus says, verse 23, he says, in that day you shall ask me nothing. I say unto you, whatever you will ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. And then a little later, he says, verse 26, that they would not have to ask the Lord Jesus to pray to the Father for them. But in verse 27, the Father himself loves them. They have loved him and believe that he came from God. So John 16 emphasizes that they did not have to view the Lord Jesus as a go-between between themselves and the Father, as if the Father would only listen to the Lord Jesus, as if there was some distinction there in the way they would approach him. But it's emphasizing this intimacy that God as Father loved to hear their cry. But in John 14, it's evident that this, where he says here, ask in my name, it's evident in John 14 that they are praying to the Lord Jesus because he says, I will do it. I mean, that's one of the key phrases that's emphasized. I will do it. He says it in verse 13 and again in verse 14. Sometimes verses like John 16 are used to suggest that it's wrong to pray to the Lord Jesus. As if he says, you will not ask any more in my name, you should only pray to the Father. That's not what John 16 is saying. And John 14 helps us to understand that because if the Lord Jesus says, I will do it, it's evident that they are speaking, they're addressing him in his name, whereas in John 16, we're addressing the Father in his name.
Could we get help me out here by explaining to me what it really means to ask in his name? Because the consequences are huge. Verse 14 says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So that should really catch our attention. If I ask anything in his name, so what does it mean to ask in his name? In simple language that I can understand. What does it mean to ask anything in his name?
I have a question with this, just in relation to between us and the apostles. Before it was a promise to us, and we can certainly enjoy asking in the Lord's name, but the apostles he was talking to in the upper room, And he said, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And again, I'm just trying to get logistically where it began. If I can get it where it began, so we can see, because like he had said to Peter that, he had the I give unto thee the keys of the kingdom and stuff. He was talking specifically to them, first off, and then to us, second off, we can apply. I just was hoping that maybe we could get an understanding, or maybe there, but anyway, an understanding as to what that meant in relation to the apostles having that apostolic authority, and then in relation to us, what we can draw from it that would apply to us as simply those in John 17. I pray not for these only, but for those who shall believe on me through their testimony. I just want to bring that out and ask if we can maybe get a clarity on that.
If I may just attempt to give a little bit help with the matter of in my name, asking in my name. I think one of the things that we need to make it very clear, this is not the code that you just put on your prayer and you finish it, and then you have access. It does not mean that at all, that you could ask for anything and said, in Jesus' name, and then all of a sudden everything is just going to work. That's not at all. As a matter of fact, as we said about the prayer, hallowed be thy name, it need to meet the characteristic of the person that you are addressing. And when you ask in one's name, it means that it meet the standards and the characteristic of that person, just assembly gathered to his name. That means everything is in conducting itself according to his rights and to his rule. So the same thing when you ask in his name, it's just not a statement that you make in the end of the prayer in Jesus' name, and then everything will work out, because you hear that a lot now in Jesus' name, and it becomes so common and so silly actually, that's not really what it is at all. It is really in keeping with the character of the person that you are addressing prayer.